Hey, good morning. Again, this morning, as we begin, obviously, Joe's up here. This is a bit different, but we have some news that we want to share with you guys, and we feel like just to start off with the news and work through it. But God is leading us away from freshwater, Joe and I. We sense that He's been calling us to this, and 19 years here, and our time is coming to a close. So we want to just kind of lay out what's happened and why and what God's been doing in our hearts over these last 15 months. It started back in May of 2020, and we both were sensing this word shift, which I think half the planet was under COVID. Everybody was kind of wondering that, but all of a sudden it dawned on us that we were thinking kind of retire here, like, and then all of a sudden it was like, this isn't going to be the place where we retire. And so we started to just process through that. We were both unified. It was like in the same time frame, we were both hearing that from God. And what we were thinking through is timing for our own family, because at that point, Zach was going into his junior year, Jackson was going to be a freshman, and Peyton was off at college. We're just like, okay, God, timing, what do we do with our family? And honestly, I was excited about the potential of what's ahead for Freshwater because of a lot of the work of the leadership and what we had done and where the church was, and COVID just kind of threw a snag into some of the things that we were starting to see God do and initiatives that we really wanted to start. But we didn't do much with the word shift. We heard it in May and we're just like, okay, like, so we're not going to be here long term. And then over the summer, Joe just said, I wonder if that's why you've struggled with having vision. And over the previous 2 or 3 years, we've talked, and I've told you, I'm like, I don't have this big picture drive vision that I used to have, and I don't know where that went, and I was really frustrated. I have vision like for Sunday morning and a service and different things, but we just kind of were like, huh, is that what's going on? And nothing really happened from May. We didn't hear anything new from God from May all the way up until November of last year. And in November, my mom, who lives next door to us, it's the Brooks compound out on Mennonite. And we were talking one afternoon, and she said, you know, if you and Joe ever sense like God leading you away from freshwater, I want to let you know that I'm okay moving. And if that has to happen a couple times, 2 or 3 times, I'm okay with that. And Joe and I are like, now we hadn't told anybody. And we just kind of looked at each other and went, uh-oh, like, what, like, how, why, like, and so we pulled her and my brother, Keith, into the conversation, and my mom was just like, yeah, I've sensed something's going on, don't know what, and so that was like, whoa, and then that week happened, and I started to fast and pray because we were going into a training seminar with the Freedom Ministry. Todd Gilbert was going to pull up a pastor from Gateway Church, and I just wanted more of God. I fasted that whole week, and I said, I just want more of you. I don't know what's going to happen on that day, but I want more of you. And on that Saturday, the pastor from Gateway had his Freedom Intercessor team pray for all 31 of us. And it was like, I think it was like 15 women and 16 guys or something along that line. And each of us had male number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and female. So they didn't know who it was. And they were asking for a word from God, like a prophetic word, vision, something for each person that was a part of our Freedom team, which is just so cool. And so this pastor read those words aloud. And when it came to me, you have to understand, my middle name is David, and my favorite Bible hero outside of Jesus, I mean, that's like everybody's, right? Like, better be. So after Jesus, David's my guy, because that's my name. Like, it's, I'm David. He's David. And that Bible verse, a man's after God's own heart, that's been my Bible verse since I was a little kid. That's my theme. That's my life. I want that to be me. I can't even remember when I started to pray that. But I was like, God, I want that to be me. And so the opening line of this word from Gateway that they were praying over us, there was two people that prayed for me. And the opening line was, you're a David. You're a warrior poet, and you're a musical leader. And I'm like, oh my. Because there were other guys there who would never be accused of being musical. And it could have been for them, right? And they would have been like, that is just so not me. This was just so me. And the first person went on and said a few more things, and they ended with this, take the next step. I hear God saying, there's something shifting for you in the future, and you're supposed to take the next step. And I'm like, oh my word. Like, what does that mean? The next person, there was two others, the next person had something as well. And I have to share this piece just to give you the context, because early on at Freshwater, I had this vision, a picture. It was just this home late fall, and whoever owned the home had been working hard at chopping wood and stacking it, and there was just rows upon rows upon rows, like so much firewood stacked that you could think, okay, that you got enough. It's okay. Like, you're going to make it, right? You're going to make it through winter, no problem. And I just had this sense that God was saying, I want you to stack leaders at Freshwater like firewood, like this picture I'm giving you. And I'm like, oh, I'm in. And if you've been a part, we have a leadership development track that we run here. And if you've been a part of that, we've run that for 10 years, and I think there's around 100 people that have gone through that. It's almost 50-50 men and women. We train men and we train women. We're not just leaving the women behind. We need the gifts and their influence. And we share, I share at the beginning of every one of those. If you've been a part of this, you know this. I share that vision. We want to see leaders stack like firewood, and you're part of the wood that's getting stacked that God's going to use, and he's going to light up, and he's going to burn a fire. He's going to add you to a fire for his kingdom. And so the opening line of the second one was, I asked, O Lord, for a word of comfort for you. And I saw someone with an axe chopping wood. And I heard God say, you have plenty of wood for the winter. Everything's taken care of. And I was just floored. And if you were at that training, you remember, I just went to my knees. Like, and I was a wreck. Because I knew in that moment, God was saying, it's time. Your time at Freshwater is coming to a close. And it was all just happening at once, so take the next step. So what the next step was 3 weeks later, we didn't know what it was. I mean, we were, what's the next step, Lord? You're going to have to show us. And there's a verse that came with this. It says, Psalm 37 says, the Lord will make firm the steps of the one who delights in him. And that was the verse that came after that, everything's okay. And so we're like, all right, well, what's the next step? And Norm Pond, who's been a friend for a long time, and he's on our elder board. He teaches our theology classes, and he came up to me after service, and he said, Brooks, how much longer are you going to be here? Now, I've had that question. You all have asked, many of you have asked me that question over the years, and it's just been like, I don't know, because it never really like was a thing, because we thought, hey, we're going to be here a long time. And he asked me that, and he asked me in a way that was not a happy way. It was more like a very direct, like as in, I know you're almost done, like I have your date in mind. And I'm like, why are you asking me that way? And he goes, well, you know, Rachel, his wife, and I were talking a few weeks ago. This is back in November, and he said, we're wondering, like, I wonder how long the Brooks are going to be here. And he says, we've asked that over the years. He said, but we got done with that conversation, and we just sensed that you weren't going to be here very long. And I'm like, well, why would you sense that? And he goes, I just wrote it down. He says, you've led the church through 18 years of growth and change. You've done a great job at it, and we're facing a new round of changes, and you could lead it, but I don't see you as a guy who would just stay to the very end and then walk off into the sunset. You're just not that guy. And I was like, I mean, every answer I thought of was a lie. You know, how you have those moments where it's like everything happens in less than a second, like a half a second. You've just had like 20 conversations and every path leads. I can't. And all of a sudden his eyes go, oh. And I'm like, oh. And so this was right after the service with everybody walking around. And I go, how about we talk, how do we talk about this later? This is right before Christmas. And so we talked in January, and we didn't want to process without the staff and the elders. And so as we looked at it, the church, we were just getting our feet back underneath us from COVID. And timing wise, we just felt like this could wait till the end of May to bring Brian in. We didn't want to say anything because Sean was going to go on vacation or sabbatical. And I didn't want to ruin Sean's sabbatical. He's a good friend, and he would have been my enemy after that. So I pulled Brian Hogan, the chairman of our elder board, into the conversation. Nothing really happened from God during the spring. We just knew that that was our next step, bring Brian Hogan into the conversation. And then we start to do this. We start to let go because we submit. Brian Hogan and the board are the people I submit to. And then we pulled in the end of towards the late end of June, David Lane, who was a district superintendent, and pulled him into the conversation. And at that point, I had to do even more of this and go, this is not ours to control. I need to submit, and Joe and I need to follow their lead. And came up with a tentative plan. And so we ended up telling the staff and elders about 2.5 weeks ago. At the beginning, the first Wednesday in September. So they're not too far ahead of you as we go into this process. And just want to remind you that, give them grace, because this was not part of their master plan. And so that's where we are. I've caught you kind of up on all the details. And out of that, we just said, hey, look, we're going to announce this to the church. But there's obviously more pieces of this story. And love to Joe. I'll give it to you.
So, of course, we've been processing with both Scott's side and my side of the family. And so when my dad heard, he was like, Joe, how can you leave Freshwater? How can you leave such a vibrant church? And I agreed. I'm like, I know. Freshwater has been an incredible church. We've basically grown up here. We came with Peyton when she was just 2. Now she's 21. We had both our boys here, and you guys helped raise them. You helped us raise them. You've been interceding for them for years. You've been interceding for us. You've given us so much grace. You've walked the highs and the lows with us. And we've often said, how did we get so fortunate to get to serve at a place like this? You've had your arms and hearts open to us since the very beginning, and God gave us a love for you right from the start. Right when we got here, there was such a love. And I mean, we've shared holidays together. You've invited us into your homes. But most importantly, you've invited us into your hearts. And we have taken that very seriously and sacredly, that you would allow us to get to be part of your lives. And so because of that, my dad would say, how do you leave? How can you leave? And I was thinking about how that's actually not the first time he's asked me that question. He asked that same question of us a little over 19 years ago. We were living in Missoula, Montana, in the heart of the Rockies, and just a little south of Glacier National Park, and we were loving life. It was a great, great church, and we had just finished a building and beautiful sanctuary, and people were coming to know Jesus, and we were making friends, and our first child was born there. We bought our first home there. We loved it. It was a great time. Scott could even go fly fishing and call it ministry. It was wonderful. And so when I started to talk to my dad again about the fact that we were looking at this small town in Ohio and an even smaller church that had been dying for 20 years, he was like, what are you thinking? Why would you leave where you're at now to go to a dying church? Why would you ever do that? And of course, when we got here, what we discovered is there was a remnant a faithful remnant who'd been praying for fresh water for all these years, that God would do anything to revive this church. And that's what God used to draw us here, that we would ever compel us to leave where we were to come here. And there's actually even another story beyond that. 4 years before that, Scott and I had just gotten married, and he was graduating in May, and during that time, right after we were married, as many of you know, my mom was diagnosed with aggressive cancer. She and I were very, very close, and I was the only child who lived nearby, and we were looking for a place to go. Sorry. And we looked high and low to stay in the area. And we'd go to church after church, and we'd just leave without that peace that we needed to have. And so this church opens up in Missoula, Montana, which I think I said we were living in Denver. And I'm like, I'm not going. I'm not leaving. And but over a couple of months, I started feeling this compelling in my heart that I couldn't not obey. And so we said yes. So we went. And I share all that with you to say that's what we're feeling now. We just have this compelling in our hearts that it's time to pass the baton. And it's not because there's greener grass. There is no greener grass for us. This is the greenest grass. We're not discontent. We're not unhappy. We're not being fired. But we just know that this is what God is asking of us. And we want to live a life of faith. We want to obey him. We don't want to stay because it's comfortable or because we love it. But we want to live a life of faith. And so we're saying yes. So we're going to pass the baton. But I want Scott to share what's next.
Yeah, so the funny thing is about next is we have no idea. We don't have a plan. Hebrews 11 says this. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the people of old, for by faith, the people of old, the heroes of the faith, received their commendation or their praise from God, the honor of God. By faith, we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And the author goes on to say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. And he goes on to tell these stories, right? The famous stories of people of faith. Noah, who builds this ark, and there's no body of water around, and it takes him years, decades, and I think it goes long time by faith. He just does this. Abraham and Sarah get a call, go to a land they've never seen, ever been to. They don't even know the people, don't even know where they're gonna live, just go, and by faith, they believe and go. David gets anointed in secret, says, you're gonna be king. By faith, he keeps living this out, but he doesn't see the throne for 20 years, and he's almost killed. I mean, you see the disciples, he calls the 12, he says, follow me. By faith, very immature they had no idea what that even meant. Faith, right? The 72, follow me. They didn't know what that even meant. They just said yes. And they had nothing else. There's that moment where Jesus is like, you guys going to stick around or you going to bail like everybody else? And they're like, we're ruined. Like, we got nothing else. Like, you're it. Where else are we going to go? And that's faith. It's fun to talk about it when you know what you're doing. It's a whole different ballpark. And you guys know this, right? I mean, we've walked with so many of you through different moments of your life where you're like, I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what's next. I don't know about this confusion, and the future is uncertain. Like, we've walked this, and so this is one of those moments where God's saying, do it by faith. And I've tried to search. I tried to start doing search. You know, I got on, like, church staffing back, like, in March, and I just felt like I was just sick. And God's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, all right, I'll collect it down. And I tried it again a couple months later, and he's like, seriously? Like, by faith. And so we haven't, even with the blessing from Brian and David, we just have not sensed that release to go the traditional way. It's just since, we just sense God saying, I'm gonna bring it, you pray. You get on your knees with your hands lifted high, and they're high, like, like, oh Lord. But we don't have fear. And I think the best way to describe this, when I was sharing this with David, the fact that we didn't know what was next, David Lane, the district superintendent. And if you don't know what that is, yeah, he is here, he's over there. Raise your hand, come on, there you go. And your wife, there you go. Good to see you guys. When I told them we didn't know what we're doing next, and we just kind of felt like God was saying, I'll bring it. He said, yeah, there's a chapter in A.B. Simpson's book, which A.B. Simpson started the denomination, Christian Missionary Alliance, which we're a part of. And he was in New York, and he just left an established church to go start a church. And there's this moment where he doesn't know what he's going to do. And he writes in his journal, he says, it's a peculiar burden tonight in the session meeting. My installation proposed and requested at an early day. So he's starting this new church, and he's wondering this. So he's asking God, he says, does the master clearly bid this or want this for me? Or does God hold me back at present and keep me free for wider work as I've desired as an evangelist? Or does God bid me to receive this special charge at the present and let him open the way in the future for whatever else he may have? So he's got all these decisions. He doesn't know his future. He's like, Lord, what do I do next? What do I do next? And this is what he writes. He says, I will surely, by his grace, do whatever he shows. I want, I must have his way and full blessing, or I shall be unable to live. That's it. I want, I must have his way and full blessing, or I will be unable to live. Simpson went on to describe that season. He says, I have sealed orders. God's given me orders to go, but they're sealed. Just don't, he'll open them when it's time for me to know. And so we realize this is just not the way. This is kind of crazy. And yet we just believe this is what God's leading us to do. We've seen him do it over and over again, and we're filled with faith that he's going to do it. So as we close just even our time here, I just want to say how much we do love fresh water. Like what Joe said is true. There is no greener grass. Like why would we go to a bigger church? That's not greener grass. That's just a lot of weeds, in my opinion. I shouldn't say that. I'm going to stick to my notes. There's just not greener grass anywhere. This is so green here. Like, we're not even close to the fence. We're just in the middle. We love it here, and we love you all. And I do want to say how much I love the staff team that we have here. It is an awesome team. And we had talked about retiring together. And there's part of it's joking, but part of it's really serious. Like, these are friends. I love them. The elder board. I love the elder board and the elders that I've been able to serve with over the years. You get in the trenches and you fight for the kingdom of God, and it bonds you together. It just does. They're brothers in the truest sense of the word. And we look at this, This church is stacked with men and women who want Christ. It's stacked with them. And I think God is in this. This church is ready. This church is fine. It's going to be fine. And if you remember when Pastor Lynn got up here back in July, and Greg was on one side and I was on the other side, and I asked Lynn to come up and talk, and he started talking, and he really, if you were there, you know that moment. It was the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit in that moment. And you remember what he said? It was a prophetic word. He said, get used to different. And he spoke that over the church, and we all applauded. But we just didn't know what we were clapping for. And I'm sitting there going, oh my word, like he just said that. And I think God's in it. God was in it. He's already speaking to you, and he's speaking to us about this. He's preparing your hearts. He's been preparing our hearts. And we're just convinced Freshwater is going to keep burning bright for the kingdom of God. And I want to invite Brian Hogan. He's the chairman of our board. And he's coming up to just kind of help speak into this and to kind of let you guys know from a leadership perspective, or give you guys some thoughts. So.
I feel like we all can do this together, like, right? That was the sense that was in the room when Scott shared that with the leadership team. It was a long quiet. You know, Scott and Jolynn have been an important part of this church for a very long time. They mentioned just briefly some of what God did in that 19 years that they were here. And it's difficult to think through what the church will look like going forward. But I have a few thoughts I want to share with you. The first is this: the elder board continues to hold Scott in the highest regard. Even as we grieve his departure, I want you to hear me clearly that Scott leaves above reproach, esteemed by the board, and the board stands ready to give him the highest recommendation for whatever ministry God calls him to in the future. I also believe that God would look at Scott and Jolynn in these times and say, well done for their time here at Freshwater. As Scott mentioned, as he and Jolynn have been working towards this shift since May, this is a decision that has come through a prayerful process, seeking God's discernment and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I've personally processed this with Scott, and I am convinced that God is leading them in this. They're just simply submitting to what God is calling them to do. And as he mentioned, we do that ourselves. He's called us, he's called me to do that, and he's probably called you to do similar things in your life. The hard part of it is sometimes God asks us to take a step forward in something where we don't know what's on the other side. And I believe that's what's happening here, as Scott and Jolynn have been taking steps towards what God's calling them to. God continues to confirm over and over again. And this is that next step for them, to take it and see God confirm once again that he is leading. So I want to tell you this, that Scott and the board have worked together to determine that his last Sunday at Freshwater Church will be 8 weeks from today on November the 14th. During the intervening time, he will continue to preach on Sunday mornings. The elder team recognizes the responsibility that it continues to have to lead the church, and we take that responsibility with grave and important concern. As we look at it, we realize that God has called us to lead, and we desperately need him. It's been even more of our prayer in these last days that he would be continuing to lead this church. I believe that God has granted a special favor to our church. I look at what we have. It is greener pastures. He is here. His presence is in our services. His presence is in our people. He's given us healthy finances. He's given us strong leaders. This is not a crisis. This is not a reason to panic. This is just simply the next step that God has for us as a church. We have been praying as a leadership team, and at this point, I want to invite you to pray with us. I want to invite you into the process of praying, and I have two specific things I want to ask you, us as a church, to be praying through this process. The first is that God would just continue to lead this church, and that he would grant us wisdom so that we can discern what is the future path of the church in the coming weeks and coming months. So pray that God would just continue to grant us wisdom. And the next prayer that I would invite you to pray with us as the body of Christ at Freshwater, would you pray that we would remain united through this process, that we would continue trusting the Lord, and we would continue exalting his name, and we would continue inviting his presence into our lives, into this place, and into our world. Those are our prayers. Even as we're saddened by the announcement, we're actually filled with hope and expectation of what God has for us as a church and what God has for Jolynn and Scott and the Brooks family. By no means, we are not a perfect church, right? But God has brought us to a place of health, spiritually, relationally, and financially. And I think as God continues, or God turns the page in the story that he's writing here at Freshwater, we are very excited, and we look forward with anticipation to what the next part of this story is. I can say this, Christ is the head of this church. Amen? He's alive today. Amen? He loves us and he's with us. He knows the future. And we'll trust him through this process. I will say this, the elder team has great confidence moving forward. We have a remarkable team of pastors and staff. We have a committed team of elders, trustees, and deacons. We have innumerable servants, not volunteers. And that's what makes Freshwater what we are. We have a divine mission. We have a clear philosophy of ministry. We have well-defined values. We know what we are called to, and we are determined to live out that commission. As I've had time to reflect, I truly feel that God has been preparing us for this moment for a long time. I want to ask you to be gracious in these times. I want you to be generous with your encouragement of those who will be leading the church through this process as we try to discern what God's path is going forward. We've only begun the initial discussion of planning and all of the work that must be done, and we're very, very early in the process. But I will say that we are determined to trust God through this and not rush. We'll be sharing much more with you when the time is appropriate. Today and the coming weeks is really a time for absorbing the news that Scott and Jolynn have shared today. Grieving the loss, remembering all that God has done, celebrating and rejoicing what they've done and what God has used them to do in our lives. We'll be making opportunities for you to express your love to them here, but I also want to encourage you to do that personally, to reach out to them and share how God has used them to impact your life. This is going to be a big change for Freshwater. This is going to be a big change for the Brooks family. And so as you pray for our future, I pray that you would pray for theirs as well. I should have cut this part out of the notes, sorry. Their fingerprints are all over this church, and they're going to remain on this church for a long time. And I'm convinced that the sadness that we feel today will eventually give way to treasured memories for years to come. So I'm going to ask Greg McCauley to come up. He's going to pray. And then after Greg prays, I want to invite Scott to lead us in singing the doxology. And I also just want to let you know that Scott and Joe Lynn will be available over in room 101 after the service for a short time. We do want to respect those who are coming into the second service who don't yet know what you now know. So, Greg, thanks.
Fresh water. Let's pray. Let's pray for our shepherd and his family. I would ask that you extend your hand toward them. Those watching online, would you extend your hand towards your screen? Father, we first want to say thank you. Thank you for the gift that you gave to this church 19 years ago. Thank you for the gift of Scott and Joe and their family. For the gift of 19 years of living life and faith with them. Lord, thank you for the lessons learned, the battles fought, the victories won, the grace and that's been extended, the authenticity and transparency that has been modeled. Lord, for the growth achieved, the forgiveness extended, the chains broken, the freedom released, the hearts changed, the joy and the laughter shared, the tears shed, and Lord, for the souls saved. Jesus, we have so much to be thankful for. But Lord, in this moment, would you see our hearts? Lord, our hearts are hurting. Lord, not because of something bad. Lord, really something good. Lord, would you allow us to grieve well, to say, see you later, well. Lord, we trust you. Lord, we have never been and will not be, we will not put our faith in a man. We put our faith in you, Lord. You're our Lord and Savior. So we trust you. We just don't see what you see right now. But Lord, as you told your disciples when you were leaving them in John 13, you may not understand right now, but you will later. So Lord, I pray that of us, that we as a church will understand. And Lord, that we will extend grace. Lord, I pray for unity, as Brian said. Lord, I pray for unity amongst the staff and the elders. Lord, would you grant wisdom and discernment over these next months and weeks? Lord, for fresh water, would you just grant us an extra measure of faith and excitement and, Lord, just anticipation of what you have for us. For Lord, if you have something planned for Scott and Joe, you have something for us. So, Lord, would you set those stacks of firewood ablaze for your glory. So, Lord, for Scott and Joe and their family, bless them. Lead them and guide them to that next step. Make them a gift to another family, to another church, another ministry where you lead them. So, Lord, would you bless and keep them? Lord, would you make your face shine upon them? And Lord, would you turn your face towards them and give them peace? Amen.